This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
May the words on our lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing. None of that stuff while I'm gone. When I was 15 years old, I got my first job. It was in the summertime, and Mom and Dad allowed me to borrow the family lawnmower to start my own little cottage industry of cutting people's grass for money. My first client ended up being this family that they weren't, at that time, I thought old, but no, they weren't old. They were in their early 30s. And the mom was very attractive. And she liked to put on her bikini and come out and sunbathe while I was cutting the grass. To a 15-year-old boy, this was a bit of a distraction. And I remember the first time that it occurred, I was behind the lawnmower cutting the first swath through the yard, and I'm looking back like this. And when I finished that first row, I looked back and saw that the grass cut was like this. You can't look back if you're supposed to focus forward. Jesus gives us that line at the end of the gospel today. He talks about the fact that you can't plow and be looking backwards because it's going to be the same result as the lawnmower. That you've got to focus forward for the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus is focusing upon today. This is the turning point in all of Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. There is this intense focus now. Jesus knows what he has to do, where he has to go, and how it has to happen. And so he is so focused that he wants us to know that as well, that we must be focused. And so that laundry list of things we get from Galatians today, sort of as we've talked about with the commandments, give us sort of the borderlines. If you want to focus in following Jesus, well, there are certain things that are out of the realm of possibility if you're going to do that. So if you find yourself in that case of any of those things, as we've said before, just stop it. Because it's not going to help to move you down the line. Now, there are other things that Jesus talks about in this gospel from Luke. And it's not that Jesus is against burying your father. It's not that Jesus is against saying goodbye to your friends. If that was the case, I wouldn't be here this morning. But it's about his intense focus and wanting us to understand that there is some of that necessary for us if we are to move forward. There is another thing that is in that letter to Galatians today that's very important. There's those things that, no, you can't do that. But there are these other things called the aspects of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about this a couple months ago when we were in the midst of our looking at our spiritual gifts in that small group series, that there's a distinction between the two. The spiritual gifts are uniquely given. Some of us have certain gifts, some of us have others. The gifts I have are not the gifts you have. The gifts you have are not the gifts I have. And that's why that exercise with that small group was important for us to clearly understand what are my gifts. But it's different with the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. We are promised that we will have all of those. All of those. And so it becomes a good sort of litmus test for us as we're on this road following Jesus. Am I experiencing all these things in my life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We should be experiencing all of those. And when we find that we're not, that's God's gift to us to help us to say, hey, we got to stop this roller coaster and we got to figure this out. Because this is my promise to you, and if you don't have that in your life, something's not right. Well, I have to tell you, I preach to myself when I say that, because you know that we applied for this Lilly grant for the sabbatical 5 successive years and were denied. 5 successive years. And when we got denied this 5th time, it hit me hard. And when I started looking at that list of the fruits of the Spirit, I started to see that some of those things weren't there for me. And that's when I made that decision. I need to step away for a while. It's been too long. You know, in the Episcopal Church, for a rector, you're supposed to do this every 7 years. Well, we've been here 18 plus years, and this is the first full sabbatical I am taking. And it is to the incredible credit, and Dee and I are so grateful to this congregation for making it possible. It is important for us to be renewed. It's not fair to you, it's not fair to me, it's not fair to God, that we would not be renewed and re-energized for more time together. The Lilly Foundation does some wonderful work, and I'm very grateful for the priests that have been recipients of it. They write the purpose of sabbatical, and from the questions I've been asked, I wanted just to read a couple paragraphs that explain what their philosophy is. Pastors serve a variety of roles in their privileged position at the center of congregational life. Preacher, teacher, spiritual guide, pastoral visitor, friend, confidant. The responsibilities are continual, and the pace and demands of parish life can be relentless, often leaving even the most dedicated pastors recognizing the need to replenish their own spiritual reservoirs to regain energy and strength for their ministry. Life-giving experiences, strengthening relationships, renewing a sense of call, meeting and serving the neighbor in a new way, finding joy and purpose in a simplified life, traveling to new lands and unfamiliar territories, and creating opportunities where members of the congregation can exercise their gifts for ministry are common themes of these renewal times. Profound discoveries that pastors and their congregations describe as life-changing events occur as they participate in sabbatical. So that's what this is about: renewal, re-energizing, recharging. And many of you have asked, well, what are you going to do? So I promised you all, well, I'll tell you on Sunday. So here we go. Most of you know that I have a very wide, weird background with the different things in my professional and personal life. I was a Roman Catholic priest. I was a travel director around the world. I was a cruise director. I worked for a merits motivation company that had trips around the world, ended up with Motorola International for 11 years, that had me traveling around the world, largely to third world countries and helping to start businesses there. And all of that led me back into full-time ministry. So travel is really part of my DNA. So there's a lot of travel for re-energizing for me, because there's a lot of places in my personal and spiritual journey that are around the world. And basically, this sabbatical is to go back to all of those places and people that have been significant in that journey for me. And Barbara and Diane and Paul Wegner can tell you that after we have honed this itinerary for 5 consecutive years, it's a pretty good itinerary. So here's what happens. Dee and I go up to St. Louis next week. That's where I'm from. That's where Mom is. That's where most of my brothers and sisters are. And my brother is celebrating with his wife their 50th wedding anniversary. So we delayed the start of this because we need to be a part of that and be with the family. Then we will be going to Madrid, Spain, to position ourselves. We can put up that first slide. And we are going to Madrid, you get over jet lag, and then we're going to be doing one of the most famous pilgrimage walks in the world, which is the Santiago de Compostela pilgrimage walk. Next slide. So we will be going on the upper left there to a town called Lugo, where we will start this walk. Now, if you were going to do that whole pilgrimage walk, you wouldn't see us for a couple years. But most people do. You have to do at least 60 miles of that walk to get the certificate saying you did the pilgrimage. So there are all these package companies that allow you to do that. Next slide. So we will be walking from Lugo to Santiago de Compostela. By walking, it is a week long. They divide it up. You're walking about 60 to 70 miles. They always lie when they tell you how much you got to walk. As Dee will tell you, they say it's 10 miles. It's probably more like 15 in a day's time. But we are going to be doing that. It leads to Santiago de Compostela, where the cathedral is, where the body of the Apostle James is. That's why it's such a popular pilgrimage walk. And then from there, next slide, we are flying to Zagreb, Croatia. My background on my dad's side is Croatian. My grandmother on my father's side is one of my heroes. And this is an opportunity for us to go back and explore the country where Grandma and Grandpa came from. And we are going to be traveling. And if you know Croatia, you know, when they divvied up all those countries, it is a weird configuration down the Dalmatian coast. But next slide. We will be traveling over to a place called Rovinj, and then the town of Brebir is where Grandma was from. We used to ask her where she was from, and she said, well, you get on a donkey and you travel 4 hours from the capital. We're not doing the donkey, but we are going to go look. There is a house there that says Zlatik etched in the concrete, and we are hopeful to get back there. We will end in Dubrovnik, and then that is the end of that part of the exploration. I have a cousin who's over there right now who's exploring our family background as well, and John is hopeful of giving me some places and names so that we can go visit some of our cousins who evidently are still there. Then, the next part of this sabbatical, we asked our girls, Bree and Demery, what they wanted to do as part of the sabbatical for the pastor includes sabbatical for family, for reconnection time. And the one thing that they said they wanted to do is go to Summer Haven, which is a very special place. Dee grew up spending her summers there with a house that her parents owned. And now Dee's brother owns the house. Bree spent a lot of time growing up in the summers there, as did Demery, and this is where they wanted to go. So with permission from Dee's oldest brother who owns the house, Ellis, and Donna, his wife, they are allowing us to go to Summer Haven for a couple of weeks. Those of you who went to Dee's surprise party for his 60th will remember that incredible location that has been rebuilt after Hurricane Michael. So we will have family time there. After Summer Haven, go to the next slide, I spent over a year of my life in Brazil, working for Motorola and working with the people down there. And I've preached before on the thing that happened down there that I did not stand up to the truth with a difficult situation for fear of losing my job, and I've regretted it ever since. But in the wake of all that, I ended up going on retreat to a place down in Brazil. And it has continued to be a holy place for me that I go back to, usually when I go on retreat in the Lenten season. So I'm going to be going back there by myself for personal retreat. After Brazil, I'm going to be flying, that is Wiesbaden, Germany, that is up in the top corner there. When I was ordained a deacon in the Roman Catholic Church back in 1981, I got a job working with the American military in Wiesbaden, Germany, Army and Air Force. It was at a time right after the hostages from Iran had come back, and so it was a very busy time there. And I arrived at the base and asked to see the commanding officer and came in. And I said, well, I need to meet the priest who's in charge, who I'm going to work for. And he kind of chuckled and he pointed at me. They had no priest. This was a Catholic church that had 1,500 families. And this newbie, wet behind the ears deacon, was asked to be the pastor. It turned out to be an incredible experience. They would bring a priest in to consecrate the bread and the wine, and then I would do communion services and teach classes. And through this sabbatical, I've gotten back in touch with some of the people I've been out of touch with since that time in 1981. So this will be a very special reunion for me. After Wiesbaden, I'll be flying to Copenhagen. A dear, dear friend of mine since college, Mike Hun, when he heard about sabbatical, he said, I want to sponsor part of this. And Michael has been wanting to do a cruise in Scandinavia for a long time because that's where his roots are. So he says, you get yourself there and I'll pay for the cruise. Pretty good deal. So we will be cruising. It goes to Copenhagen. It goes to St. Petersburg. It ends up in Amsterdam. And if you go to the next slide, once we get off the ship in Amsterdam, I will be flying to Japan, and Dee will be meeting me there. And we're going to a particular place in Japan called Kyoto, because that's where we met. I was a travel director. Dee was on the trip with her mother, Mommy Dot, and Mommy Dot played the matchmaker. And I had bought tickets for the two of them to go to the Kabuki Theater, because that's Dee's background. The three of us were going to dinner. The plan was we would come back, and I would get out of the cab. They'd continue on to the Kabuki Theater. Well, we get back to the hotel. Mommy Dot jumps out of the car, throws the two theater tickets back into the cab, and says, have a good time, kids. She knew what she was doing. Now, this is where we had our first date, and as Dee will remind me, this is where we had our first kiss. And Dee says she wants to go back and find the bridge where we had our first kiss. And I said, well, there's a lot of bridges in Kyoto. And she said, then there's a lot of kisses in Kyoto. So we'll be going to Kyoto for a few days, and it positions us to do another pilgrimage walk that's been on my own bucket list. When I wrote my dissertation on pilgrimage, a lot of benchmarking was done with something that's called the Buddhist temple, 88 temple pilgrimage on the island of Shikoku in Japan. We go to the next slide. It's the third largest island in Japan, and it is, next to Mecca, the most walked pilgrimage route in the world. I was amazed when I heard this because I had never heard of Shikoku or the pilgrimage walk. Well, we've been able to find an English guide who is going to lead us for 10 days. And we won't do the whole pilgrimage walk because it itself would take almost 2 months. But they are going to have us do selective walks, and we will be visiting the most important of those Buddhist temples as part of the pilgrimage. After that, next slide, we are going to an island called Shodoshima. I just wanted to go there because I like the name. But it happens to be an important island because it is where a film by the name of 24 Eyes was filmed, which is one of the most famous Japanese films of all time. And it deals with Japan during and after World War II and the changes in that culture that were necessary as a result. But it has become a very famous place as a result of that. And after we're in Shodoshima, we are going back to near Tokyo, and we're going to take a cruise around Japan to see some of the other areas that we didn't see back in 1981 on that first experience. And I'm sure there's more bridges. Now, We're also hopeful. Some of you will remember Uishi, who was a foreign exchange student from China that we hosted. And she became like an adopted daughter to us as well. And she is in China now, employed in the workforce, and is trying to work it out that she can meet us in Japan, which we are hopeful will take place. Then after that, we are flying from there. That's the itinerary for that little cruise we're going to do. Next slide. Then Dee comes home, and I go to Singapore. Now, I spent considerable time with Motorola working in Tianjin, which is a town outside of Beijing. It is considered hardship duty, so periodically Motorola would send us for a long weekend to Singapore to sort of get some decent food that we knew what we were eating. I found a retreat house there that was very special to me. Haven't been back there in a long time. But I will finish the sabbatical experience with time at that retreat house in Singapore before I come back to you all for when we're together the first Sunday in November for All Saints, All Souls. Now, that's our part of the sabbatical. You have your part. The sabbatical experience for the Lilly Foundation, which we are following, involves the church in some way having a sabbatical renewal experience as well. So the creative way we came up with years ago was to bring over to this church the people that we have partnered with for our pilgrimages with our youth and adults over recent years. Probably the last half of the pilgrimage classes have experienced Andy and Anna Rain and Mark and Mary Fleeson. They are the experts, the world experts in Celtic Christianity. I mean, I'm not exaggerating to say that. Mary is the world's expert in Celtic knot work. Andy is the world's expert in sort of liturgical prayer dance. Anna is an international recording artist now. She's done her second album. And little old St. Joseph's has this incredible relationship with these folks, and they were willing to come here. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I can't imagine this will ever happen again. So they're coming here. The details are in your bulletin. We've been talking about it. It's the 22nd to the 27th of July. You can sign up for any of those nights and Saturday or all of them. And we do want you to sign up because there's materials that have to be reproduced, and we need to know how many of them are needed. It's Monday through Friday, 7 to 9:30. Saturday, it starts at 10. It goes through the 5 o'clock celebration. We don't know what that 5 o'clock celebration is going to look like. It's going to be organic, and Wendy and Diane and everybody are going to figure that out as the week evolves as to what makes sense. But I will mention, on Friday night, we have added Anna Rain is going to do a concert as part of the Friday night experience. And if there was only one night that you could possibly come, Friday night's the night to be here. Anna's got this angelic voice. You won't regret it. But I'd encourage you, just come on Monday if you can and see if it's a fit for you, because what they offer is an incredible, genuine spirituality. And that Celtic roots for us, even though there's no historical connection, there certainly is one affinity connection that we have with our Celtic ancestors. So it would encourage you to be a part of that. In the first reading today, there is this passing of the mantle from one leader to the next. And so the question people ask is, well, you're leaving, who's in charge? I cannot think of a better time in my 18-plus years here than now for this to be taking place. Because the leadership in our vestry and having Rev. Wendy and Rev. Mary here, this place is in good hands. Diane Williams, our senior warden, she is the one canonically who is in charge. When the rector leaves, Diane's in charge. So if there are things that refer to the whole campus and things like that, it's not Charlotte Lee's you go to. Charlotte's not in charge. Diane's in charge. It's not Rev. Wendy you go to. Diane is the one who's in charge as the senior warden. And when Diane is unavailable, then it is the junior warden who is Rick Filer. there are not going to be problems, I know. That list I read to you at the beginning, nobody's going to get into any of those nasty things, so we are just going to fly forward. And if there is anything pastorally or sacramentally, of course, that's the domain of Rev. Wendy. Anything church spirituality related, that's the duty of the associate priest. So it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I thank you for making it possible for us. And I am so convinced that there are so many blessings that are come to this church and congregation as well as to us. And I look forward to when we are back together in November as we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. And I am sure that all of us, me included, will say, yep, I've checked off that list. And every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, I got more of it now than I ever did. Let's celebrate that.